Keith was it with Inspire Personal Fitness. Inspire is a personal training studio that's actually just up the road here on Riverside Drive. We do small group training and larger group, what we call fit training, and it's mostly functional fitness, and you know, we just try to help people lead healthier lives. And so tonight, obviously, what I'm going to be talking about is setting goals. It's that time of the year. People sometimes do make it to February without having set their goals yet, so it's still a good time to talk about it. But I'm going to try to give you some strategies tonight that will kind of help you, you know, reach whatever goal it is or goals that you might have. So, but before we start, I'm going to actually ask you guys to make a couple of commitments to me tonight. One of them is I'm going to ask that you take notes, and the other one is that you participate. So, you know, feel free to ask questions. This is a much more kind of casual atmosphere. You know, if you have a question as we're going along, please feel free to ask as we do that. So it's only a few of us, so, you know, definitely speak up if you need to. So having said that, I want to know, you know, have any of you guys ever tried setting a weight loss or any other kind of goal before? Let me see a raise of hands. Anybody try to set a goal before? All right.
Anybody not?
Well, was anybody in here able to actually reach that goal? All right. I see one hand. See a couple hands coming up. I've reached them before. Good. Good, good, good. Well, if you haven't, or if you've ever had other goals that you didn't reach, you're not alone. You know, that happens to everybody. As a matter of fact, I've got a few statistics to show to you. 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolutions in just 1 week. 1 week, and you're already done with it. So for those that do make it past that first week, another 60% will abandon them within the first 6 months. So, the average person will make the same resolution up of 10 times and still never actually get to that goal. So, you know, that's part of it. So when you're talking about weight loss, only 5% of those who lose weight on a diet actually keep it off. You know, 95% regain the weight. A lot of them gain more weight than what they lost during the time that they were doing it. So this next stat just kills me, because it's like, even after a heart attack, only 14% will actually make the necessary changes to prevent another heart attack. So all this is just to show you guys, I mean, it's hard to stick with, you know, resolutions and goals. It's hard. Even when you've got something like a heart attack, you know, hanging over your head, it's still tough to do. So, you know, that's just part of it. So I'm just going to say, if you guys are in the right place, if you've ever been working on the same goal over and over again, you know, with little or no progress year after year, this is what we're here for. Or, look at that. Or if you're trying to, you know, or if you've ever found yourself making a goal, you go at it full steam, you're real big into it, only to find, you know, your progress slows or you fail down the road and you just give it up. Or if you're, you know, if we're talking about weight loss, which is, again, what we kind of do at Inspire, you know, if you're tired of losing the same 10, 20, 30 pounds year after year and just gain it right back, you know, this is why we're going to be talking about this stuff today. So, cool. Are we all good so far?
Yeah.
All right. So I was going to say, it's funny how, you know, here we are February, and what was the high today, 78 or something like that, 74? It's amazing, right? Nice break from the winter. But I remember I was actually here last year doing a community event at their upstairs one, and nobody showed up because it was 7 degrees outside and ice, and we had some snow that morning. And I want to say it was right about the middle of the month. So it's amazing what a year makes. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting. So a little bit more about me. As I said, I'm the owner of Inspire, and yes, there's Ayla a few years ago. now I have another one to the mix, so. I've helped hundreds of people be awesome, and a little story about me and setting goals. In 2015, I made a goal that I wanted to double the business, and I was actually able to, by the end of that year, again, using these types of strategies, we actually doubled our membership in 1 year at the gym down there. So that's just an example of how this stuff can work. So here's what we're going to learn. I'm going to teach you guys one strategy that will actually increase your chances of meeting your goal by 42%.
Right.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Negative 42%. Come on. That's right. And also how to quit-proof your goals to ensure you finally achieve them once and for all. So trying to make it through, right? There's also a simple yet powerful principle that will enable you to stop procrastinating and enable you to actually take action, to be a massive action taker, like we call it. So, and then just bring in some clarity to the different steps that you need to take to start accomplishing the thing. So, whether it's, again, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to improve a relationship, get a better career, it all works. So, and then this is one of my favorite quotes. It says, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Because at the end of the day, it is about mindset more than anything else. So, how many of you actually believe in the power of written goals? See, a couple of hands. Good, good. So, follow-up question to that is, well, how many of you actually written down your goals for this year? Okay, let's see if you some of them. Good, good. That's awesome. So there's actually scientific evidence that has proven that people that set goals are happier, they live longer, they make more money. I mean, it's just that simple. Again, whether the goal is getting in shape, whether it's improving your career, improving a marriage, improving relationships, that there's study after study after study just shows that you just people who make and set goals and keep to them, are happier and live longer. So here's the first strategy we're going to talk about. I said there were five strategies. Here's number one. Most people, where they mess up right in the beginning, is they'll come up with 100 goals. Like, here's like 100 things that I want to do this year. So the strategy number one is keep your goals few in number. What I usually tell people is like 7 to 10. And that's actually what psychiatrists actually say. We can only focus on 7 to 10 things at any given time anyway. So it just kind of falls right in line with that. Pick, 7 to 10 good goals, instead of trying to do 100. We just get overwhelmed. It's just too much for us. So there's that, again, 7 to 10 goals. But you want the goals to run across the entire spectrum of your life. So we're talking about setting goals for work goals, setting goals for personal goals, setting goals for self-care, right? Again, I would say 7 to 10 for any of those categories, But strategy number two, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on this one because it's pretty involved. You've probably all heard the acronym of, SMART goals. Well, we actually go by the idea of SMARTER goals. So we're going to go through that. So we added two to it, and I think those two are pretty important, so obviously we'll get to them. But when we talk about it, and again, you guys may be familiar with some of these first ones, but obviously S stands for specific. We want to be as specific as possible with our goals if we're going to be successful with them. Here's some examples. A non-specific goal: I want to lose weight. Well, I mean, that doesn't tell me anything. A specific goal: I want to lose 10 pounds of body fat. At least that's something that we can point to, and we know if we're actually making progress or not, right? We know when we've actually met that goal, so we can set the next goal. That's the kind of stuff we do all the time at the gym. It's like, what's the goal? We've met it. Now what's the next goal? M, of course, measurable. Again, a couple examples of that. I want to make more money this year. Well, how are you going to measure that? What are the different things, and let me know if I'm going too fast because I see you guys taking notes, which is exactly what I asked you to do. That's so awesome. It's just not measurable enough. Well, what if you said, I want to make $5,000 more this year than last? Not only is that measurable, it's also specific. So you've now accomplished both the first two parts, right? So again, this is talking about being specific and measurable. Then there's actionable. What are the steps you can take to achieve that goal? Again, a non-actionable goal: I want to be more consistent with working out. Again, what does that mean? What does that mean? Much better to say, I want to work out 3 times per week. That's something you can take action on. It's something you can track. You'll know, I use a Google Doc on my Google Drive where I actually track things that are important to me. Workouts is one of them. If I look through a week and I don't see 3 yeses under workouts, I know I'm not meeting my goal for that week. So technology is amazing. R, of course, is for realistic. I'm not a golfer, but I'm using a golf analogy anyway. But obviously, even if I was, I would only be a casual golfer. So to say I'm going to qualify for the PGA Tour this year, that is not realistic. And it's probably not realistic for most people that you're going to meet. But either way, of course, a more realistic goal might be, I want to lower my golf handicap by 3 strokes. That's something you can do. You know, that is something that is realistic. Again, this is a part where we get bogged down when I'm talking to people at the gym about their goals. I remember one time a woman came to me and said she wanted, I'm going to date myself a little bit. This was back when Friends was still on live TV or whatever. She said she wanted to have legs like Jennifer Aniston. And I was just like, well, have you ever had legs like Jennifer Aniston? She said, no. I was like, not even like in high school or anything? No. I was like, I don't know if that's reasonable, but we'll kind of start, or realistic, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. But anyway, so T. So this is the end when you just talk about the SMART. This is the one where most people stop. Time bound. Again, you see I use a lot of references to weight loss and fitness because that's what I do. But you can apply this to anything, right? So a non-time bound goal, I want to lose 20 pounds. Again, maybe you're specific, but again, it's not measurable. It's not any of the others. And it's certainly not time bound. Or to say I want to lose 20 pounds by January 1st. Again, it's just adding to it. So as I mentioned, though, we always add 2 more to it. So the next one would be the E, and that's exciting. I mean, I do think it's important to not have boring goals. I mean, it's okay if some of them are just, you know, I want to like, I mean, I can't think of an example of that, but I mean, it's just, I want to make sure my taxes get done on time. That's not really exciting. That's okay, but you know. Yes, I want to keep my kitchen countertop cleaned up, right? It's not overly exciting, but, you know, and that's fine. But I do think you want to try to have at least of those 7 to 10 goals, try to have some of them that make you excited, that give you something to look forward to. And again, studies have shown, I mean, if you have excitement surrounding the goals, it kind of keeps you going when things get in the way. You know, life jumps in front of us and we lose track. But if it's something you're excited about, you know, it's a lot easier to get going again. So the last one is relevant. You need to make your goals relevant to where you are in life. You need to be honest with yourself about what relevant is to you. You know, again, I talked about before, people will start and fail on the same goal up to 10 times. Maybe the reason why they're failing at is because that's not even relative to what they need anymore. It's a goal they had 5 years ago. So just, it's a good time, any time of the year, but obviously this time of the year, first year is when everybody's talking about it, to kind of take mental stock in yourself and see where you're at and what really is important to you. So to me, I feel like those last two strategies, that's what can make a lot of times a big difference in whether or not you complete that goal. So and we're only on number 2, right? So number 3 is to write down your goals. Again, I mentioned the importance of that earlier. And I believe I have a statistic on this, but I mean, there's incredible power in writing it down. I'm a pencil and paper person by nature. I mentioned I use Google Drive to put things down, but all that stuff got written down by hand first. I think there's something about putting a pencil or a pen to paper that kind of logs in your head a little bit better than just being on a computer screen all day. And there are studies that tend to back that up as well. So, you know, so I think writing it down, but do whatever works for you. If you want to put it on your tablet or whatever, that's fine too. But that was the strategy that I talked about, increasing your chances of being successful by 42%. Dr. Gail Matthews found that, as you can see the quote, simply writing your goals down increases the likelihood of achieving your goal by 42%. So very important to write it down. Cool. All right. Strategy number 4 is to review your goals frequently. You know, again, life gets in the way. It's easy to get off track. I mentioned this Google Doc that I have. It's something I actually get. I'm on there every day. Maybe that doesn't need to be daily. Maybe it needs to be weekly for you or even monthly. But the point is to review it often. I even have some of my more top goals, my top 5, I would say, written down, and they're like taped to my bathroom mirror. So I see it each morning when I get up. It's kind of that visualization thing. And it just reminds you, this is why I'm getting up and going to work today, or this is why I'm getting up and, you know, going to the gym today, whatever it might be. So, and that's, it can be the number one reason why most people don't achieve their goals is because they don't go back and review them. Like I said, you know, because, you know, life gets crazy. I know I said that a couple of times, but it really does. And I hear it all the time at the gym. We have a policy, if someone doesn't show up for a week, we're reaching out to them. Where were you last week? Because, I mean, it's all about accountability, right? More times than not, they're like, oh, I had this happen, I had that happen. It's like, well, you know, let's remember our goal. And not showing up to the gym for an entire week is not getting us closer to that goal. I get it that life jumps in the way and you have kids and you have all this other stuff. I do too, you know, but we just got to find ways to make it work. So, as I said, you know, it's a good idea to keep them in a place where you can read them often. I mentioned the mirror. I've got my Google Drive that I'm checking every day. But just find what works for you. So,
the key to something that works for a lot of people these days is to put on their calendar as like a weekly recurring event.
That is true too, yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, technology is great, you know, and it can help in a lot of ways. Just, you know, it just got to make sure it's finding something that's going to work for you. So, you know, my question to you guys is like, you know, something you can always ask yourself is what actions can I take this week to make progress towards my goal? You know, it's really, you know, sometimes, again, using the weight loss idea, I want to lose 50 pounds by the end of the year. You know, that's a long-term goal, and it's easy to get bogged down in what I'm going to be doing 12 months from now versus what can I be doing today to take me one step closer to that goal. So you need to break it down into the smaller steps, right? So let's see where we're at. So the final strategy number 5, is to share. They used to say share your goals. I say share your goals selectively. I mean, I've even seen people say, you know, those of you who use Facebook or Instagram or whatever, like, just go on your Facebook page and share your goals so all 500 people who are on your page know about it. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea because, you know, you're not necessarily going to have, not everybody on your Facebook page is going to be necessarily supportive of your goal. You kind of open yourself up to criticism and so forth, and that's not, you know, excuse the pun, that's not the goal here. The goal is to find people that you can share it with who are going to support you. Support is a big part of it. Again, we try very hard at Inspire to make sure people feel supported throughout their entire, however long they're with us, we want to make sure they know that they're supported by not only us as the coaches, but the other members. I mean, it's a nice family down there in terms of people who, you know, really support each other. You know, if somebody comes in and shares their goal with their little small group that they work out with every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we know that the other people in that group are going to be a part of that. So just be selective about it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I don't know why that's repeated. But so something else to think about, too, and this is from Derek Sivers. What happens in your brain? So I guess what I'm saying is, like, so when you broadcast your goals to, as you know, whoever will listen to it, as many people will listen to it, what happens is your brain actually starts to think that you've already achieved that goal. So that's another reason why you want to be selective about it. It's like you don't want to tell 100 people because you start fooling yourself into thinking that you've already achieved that goal. So you just want to be careful about how often you're repeating it to other people and those kind of things. So that's just something to think about. So, and again, I mentioned sharing it with people who will support you. That can be family members, friends, you know, just whatever your social influence is. It could be coworkers, but I mean, just make sure it's, you know, people who are going to be there for you when the going gets rough, you know, or it might be that person who will slap the donut out of your hand in the break room when they see you about to take a bite. So whatever it takes. So, and again, back to that, the donut thing, that they'll hold you accountable, you know. They're going to say, you know, is that really going to help you get towards your goal by making that decision, whatever it might be? So that's important. Let's see here. So just a quick recap, and I'm, again, I'll definitely open up for questions if anybody has any. But so you have those five strategies to crush your goals. So don't set too many. Number one, no more than 10. Make them smarter. And again, we talked about being specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, timely, and then the two I added, exciting and relevant. Very important. The other one was to write them down, because why? Does anybody remember what writing down goals does? What was the percent? 42%. Thank you. 42%. And then make sure to review them frequently. You know, again, whether you're posting it on your mirror in your bathroom or you got it on your computer. I mean, I'll change it out, but on my computer screen when I don't have other programs open, there are quotes there that are just quotes that influence me. But that'd be a good place to put your goals too. I know people actually who put them on, they'll make it their home screen on their smartphone. And so every time they turn their phone on, they see their goals. So just whatever's going to put it in front of you. And then the last one was share them selectively with, again, people who support you and will keep you accountable, right? So I'm just going to say don't drift through life, you know, and wind up looking back wondering what you accomplished. Instead, set and accomplish goals so that you can look back and say, wow, I really accomplished some great things. I mean, what I really would like for you guys that are here in the room today is to walk away from this, hopefully be able to set some goals, and then this time next year, just like, man, look what I did. Look what I did. You know, I mean, I really want that for everybody in here. So, one final tip. This is not part of our five strategies, but it's to make it a family affair. Get everyone involved in thinking forward and setting goals to improve themselves. It doesn't have to be the same goals for every family member. I mean, maybe you might have a goal as a family. Maybe the goal is we're going to go to Disney World this year or whatever, but no ideas over there, by the way. But kind of getting everybody in the family, and again, that can be, you know, spouses, brothers, sisters, whatever, you know, parents, whatever, but getting them involved too, because again, more than likely, those people are going to typically be very supportive and help you keep accountable as well. So that's just a bonus one for you. I just want to show you when goals become reality, just an example from our gym. This is Gail. She came to me with a very specific goal of wanting to lose 70 pounds. We also sat down and made some other goals, and then we, you know, started her program. We were checking in constantly, and in 7 months, she lost 70 pounds. That was before, that was after. So 70 pounds in 7 months, and that is what goal setting can do. And sticking to it, of course, she had the support system of us at the gym, as well as her husband was very supportive, which is always nice too. So that's what can be accomplished. So again, do you see how powerful goal setting can be for results when done correctly? Yeah? Yeah? Absolutely. So again, nothing that I shared today is just theory. None of it's just made up or just fancy stuff. I mean, these things, not only are they the strategies that people use to become high achievers in everyday life, I mean, this is backed by science, you know, all kinds of stuff. So keep that in mind. I mean, this isn't just voodoo. This is real stuff here. So this is the way to do it. And with that, I want to open it up for questions. I went through that pretty quick, but I didn't want to keep you guys here all night. So what questions do you have for me? Go, please.
One of my strategies I like to use is to chunk them down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
By time, what can I achieve in a week, what can I achieve in a month,
right,
3 months, or, you know, because sometimes I set goals for myself and I feel overwhelmed by it, and then I'm, like, dismotivated rather than motivated.
Right.
And then each, like, success of a little benchmark goal, you know, mm-hmm, keeps me excited.
Yep, yep. And then again, that's... So going back to Gail, I mean, she said, I want to lose 70 pounds. It's like, well, first we have to lose one,
right?
So, you know, and you know, what I did with her oftentimes, about every 4 weeks, we would step in and measure, and we were checking body fat and circumferences and stuff like that too, because the weight is, you know, that's not always the best measure, but that held her accountable, and we had it in 4-week goals, or, yes, basically, so.
Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Any other questions? Yes.
What do you do when you have somebody who says they want to, they have a goal, and yet they're really motivated. It's a life, you know, life or death. They want to live to see their children, and they're concerned that they won't if they don't make a change.
Right.
But then over time, they don't make the change. They set the goal, and then stuff comes up, and they keep letting the life being crazy get in their way.
Right.
And
Right, sure.
How do you help people bridge that gap?
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, it really can, I mean, sometimes just a simple conversation with someone can get back on track, but if you find this being habitual in nature, I mean, you know, then there's, you know, times where you might need to sit them down and really, you know, get face to face with them and try to get them to face the reality that they're, you know, that they're stuck with. You know, luckily I've never had to do this professionally in terms of it through the gym, but you know, you may have to go to a family member and say, I need your help. I need you to help me. Because, you know, again, I see people 3 times a week, maybe for an hour. What are they doing all the other hours of the day? You know, who are the people that are around, you know, on those other hours and trying to get them involved too? I mean, that's, but you know, again, one of the hardest lessons I've learned over the years is that, you know, I can only be responsible for myself. You can't take on the responsibility of other people's decisions or actions or whatever. So, you know, sooner or later you have to kind of let them decide if they're going to make that decision or not, you know. But sometimes that, you know, tough love, if you would call it that, can sometimes accomplish it, you know, so sometimes not. Anybody else? Anybody? Yes, I know.
It's excruciating. And we talked about goal setting, and there's even some more compelling studies that Harvard put out.
Oh, sure.
That I'd love to share with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
After the meeting. But, yeah, like having to become accountable to somebody who's not my mom, or like I don't know how to pull, or,
right.
You know,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so I've owned Inspire Personal Fitness for, we just had our 12th anniversary. Probably by around year three in business, I hired a business coach, and I've had one ever since. I've worked with different ones for various reasons, but yeah, it's, you know, and again, you know, we call ourselves at Inspire coaches instead of personal trainers because we feel like we kind of go beyond just taking you through a workout. There is that coaching aspect of holding you accountable and teaching and just trying to be, you know, as cognizant of what people go through when they're trying to get healthy, you know. And so, yeah, having a coach for business, for personal, for whatever, I mean, I think that's hugely important.
Another thing that's been a huge accelerant for me in gaining clarity is reminding myself daily the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why
absolutely.
Do I
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, just knowing my why real hard and saying it out loud, being very specific.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with Simon Sinek? Is that how you say his name? He did a TED Talk, and it's, I don't know, 20 minutes long maybe or whatever, and it's called Know Your Why. And it got so popular, he wrote a book. So there's also a book. But to me, it's one of the most powerful 20 minutes you can watch. I try to, like, once a quarter watch it, because that's what I was talking about, you know, making it exciting and being relevant. The why can be a very big part of that. Absolutely can be. I mean, why are you doing this, you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I go online and check out, you know, ticket prices, airlines, and, you know, they say to also shop for your goals to remind you of that why.
Right, right.
You know, shop for your Nordstrom and look at what everyone will look at, and, you know, and actually
Yeah. I mean, now, you know, knowing your why as far as getting your taxes done on time, that may not be hugely exciting, but still, it can be, you know, I want to get my taxes done on time, and here's why. So, again, his name is Simon Sinek. I believe it's S-I-N-E-K. So there's another one for you.
Is he an author?
That's what I was, he ended up writing a book based off of that TED Talk that he did. And that's been a long time ago. I don't know how easy it would be to find anymore. I mean, I just kind of earmarked it so I can find it. But
life coaches and things like that are a hot topic right now. Sure, or have been for some time. Would you have any, and you may not, but would you have any suggestions? Because, you know, there's a therapist on every corner.
Right.
How do you know there's a good, you know, how do you know that's a good one? What do you look for a good life coach, I guess?
I mean, so some research can certainly be involved. I mean, obviously, you know, with the age of the internet, I mean, you can see how many positive Google comments and things like that. So that's a place to start, at least, because everybody's website is going to have fancy words on it that are going to make you think this is the exact person I need because they know what your pain points are and so forth. It's just called marketing. I think it's, at the end of the day, it's sitting down and having a face-to-face conversation with that person. And just list, you know, for me, I would just kind of listen to my intuition and my gut and say, you know, and I might not say anything in the moment. I might give it a day. And, I mean, I tend to be an overthinker. I overthink everything, so I have to be conscious of that. But, you know, I also feel like, you know, you have to have that face-to-face interaction. So, you know, and obviously, if you know somebody who knows this person, that always helps. You know, referrals are great, but I think at the end of the day, I mean, you do your research. You don't want to have to, like you said, there's tons of them, so you don't want to sit down and have 100 interviews, but narrow it down to your, make it one of your goals, man. I'm going to narrow it down to my top five, and then I'm going to set appointments with them, you know, if that's what you're really looking for, you know, if you feel like you need that, so, yeah. Anybody else?